Good morning, Shabbat Shalom, and welcome to United Israel World Union. This is our Sabbath morning service coming to you live from St. Francisville, Louisiana. Thank you so much for joining us. I wanted to kick off this morning and remind everyone that we have our lovely new Jewish calendars for United Israel World Union. These are for calendar year 5782. According to the Jewish calendar, the calendar begins, as many of you, most of you, maybe all of you know, begins in September, roughly, the month of Tishri on the Jewish calendar. And so these run from September to September, September 2021 to September 2022. And one of the things that I wanted to say is that John Langberg and maybe Mark and I just volunteered you there, boys, to help me this week. Actually, John already volunteered himself. We're going to be packaging these up over the next couple of weeks. And so these will be in the mail, headed to you again. Beautiful calendars. Each page has a gorgeous picture. They have the Gregorian calendar with the Hebrew calendar dates. It also has the weekly Torah readings, the candle lighting times. And one of the things that we felt was important, every year we pick a verse to go on the calendar. And this year we selected the following: Heal me, O Jehovah, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. From Jeremiah 17:14, we feel like at United Israel that the world needs healing in more ways than one. Some people are more concerned about the spiritual aspects of our nation, or whatever nation you're in, wherever you're hearing me from, and others have definite concerns about COVID or other things. Either way, heal me, O Jehovah, we thought was appropriate. So, If you did not receive a calendar last year, that means you were not on our mailing list. So if you want to receive this calendar, email me, rossknichols@me.com, and just put in the heading calendar request, put your address in the body of the email so I know who to send it to, and we'll get you one off, and so I'm looking forward to that. We also, tomorrow, the officers and board will have a meeting. We do a pretty regular Zoom meeting where we discuss various things. And one of the things that we are discussing, don't get so excited just yet, but we are thinking about, seriously, and this depends on a lot. You know, COVID is... I know different people have different views on that. Please don't jump into the debate. But we're watching closely. We're looking at anything that we might have concerns about. We're considering a Sukkot gathering here in St. Francisville, September 24 to 26. That's Friday, September the 24th in the evening. We would have people come in. And then the 25th, Saturday all day, and Sunday all day, we would have conferences and fellowship time together. If that's going to take place, and we think that it might, I will announce that very soon. Yes?
Sound on YouTube.
It must be an individual, because we're going out and... It seems to be working, so it must be just an individual. Yep, so some people are hearing me. If you're not hearing me, I can't give you the advice to refresh your screen, but that's probably it. So maybe someone can type that for me. You know, several people have written and asked me about the dialogue. Where is the dialogue? A lot of people miss this. And I wanted to say that we've got a couple of technical issues that we still have to get through, and I'll tell you briefly what that's about. When COVID first hit in last year in the spring, we stopped. I encouraged people locally to stay at the house, not to come up. We didn't know anything about what was going on. And people complied with that, thankfully. And so I would be up here by myself. And one Saturday, the microphone died, and I went in a panic mode, and Dave coached me through how to rig up a microphone, and I did more than he told me to do, which is never a good thing, and I disconnected some things. So we still are trying to sort that out, believe it or not. I hope to have that back and up and running in the near future, so I haven't dismissed that. I realize that people do enjoy the interaction. Now, today I want to do something that I've never done before. I've never tried this before, and I want to tell you what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. It's like the old Jewish question, why is this day different than any other day? That's pretty close to what I'm asking. And the reason, the thing that makes this day different is I'm going to utilize the technology that we have to try something. I'm only trying. If this is a bomb, I probably won't do it again. I'm an easy learner, I promise you. Things that work well for Ross get repeated. Things that are a difficulty for Ross typically go in the waste bin. But last night, I texted a few close friends about 10 p.m. or later and said, I'm struggling. Now, I don't cry for help. I don't raise a flag. I teach every week. Every Friday, I come to this office and I pray and I meditate and I study and I come up with a class and I teach it on Saturday and I talk and people listen. But I had on my mind a heaviness. And I want to tell you why that heaviness was on my mind. So, by the way, at about 10:30, I threw away about 10 pages of notes. 10:30 p.m. And I said, I'm not going to do that. I've got something else I need to do. I spent a lot of time on the phone late last night with Jono Vandoor, good friend of mine. Many of you know him. And I told him what was on my mind, and he encouraged me to do what I plan to do today. Now, that doesn't mean that Jono gets credit if it goes well, nor does it mean that Jono gets the blame if it doesn't go well. But he was very helpful last night for me, and I want to thank him for that. I had two conversations on Wednesday of this week. Two conversations on Wednesday that hit me in a way that I've only now been able to express. And I want to take my time this morning, our time this morning, if you'll allow me, to talk about what's going on with what happened on Wednesday. I want to share what it was that I learned in two interactions, and then I want to spend the remainder of the time interacting with you. Now, the local crowd knows that they can talk to me anytime, so they don't get to ask questions and they don't get this interaction that I'm offering you online this morning. And that's not because I don't love them, but I can talk to them when I turn the microphone off. And they agree. I'm going to open with a little bit of a monologue to describe these two interactions I had this week. And then I plan to field some questions and do my best to interact with you. Now, you have to understand, this is new to me. There are probably, between Facebook and YouTube, dozens of people, if not more than 100. The comments are going to be too much for me to deal with, all of them. And don't fire them off yet. Wait, because you'll see what I'm looking for in just a moment. But I do want you to know that after we go offline, I'm going to read through every comment. I promise you that. And some of what you're going to say in these comments will come up in another event that I do similar to this. I get feedback quite often. I get feedback in the form of text messages because some people have my phone number. I get phone calls. I get emails. I get handwritten notes. I get feedback often. And one thing I learned from the time I was in the military as a young man is feedback is free. But you have to listen to it. You have to be approachable. When people tell you something, a lot of times they're giving you their heart. And that happened to me this week in two very pointed examples. Now, if this works, what I plan to do today, I don't know that I'll use the Saturday time ever again to do this. I might. But I do intend to use it, if it works well, on a periodic basis to get to ask for and to receive your feedback. So let's try to do this. And again, I start with the dialogue. So two examples. Now, I'm not listing the names, and I'm not quoting. I'm not going to read the messages that these interactions, because it's too personal, it's too private. And I know that the people that I'm referring to will probably recognize their side of this in what I cover, but I'm not going to give any details, so you won't know. Feedback number one. By the way, let me add one more thing before I get into the feedback I received. In the days of radio, a personality, for lack of a better way to put it, would go online on air, right, and they would talk and people would listen. And the only feedback mechanism might be a letter that came into the radio station, and that was technology in those days. Television, similarly. You know, people can watch television, and even today, listen to radio, watch television, and your only feedback is through a delay, a great delay, or podcasts, anything like that. But I know that now we're not utilizing technology to the fullest, because as I'm speaking, I'm receiving feedback. Betty Givens says, Shabbat Shalom, my friends. Jodell, hi, Sam and Layla. Layla says, Shabbat Shalom. It's rolling. I want to engage you today. So here we go. Feedback number one. I get a note Wednesday from a person who tells me in very glowing and kind language how much they appreciate my classes. This person goes on to say about me that Ross, me, you have a careful eye for details that others miss or mindlessly skim over. You can almost feel me feeling pleased with this feedback. That's nice to hear. You know, I see things that other people don't see, and this person appreciates that. This person tells me that they, their whole family, have been involved in church their whole life. Even the father is a preacher. It's a preacher's kid writing me. And that over the past 7 or so years, this person has worked themselves into a different place spiritually. And they're happy with it. Now, it hasn't been easy. The family had some very difficult days. There were debates within the family as, what do we do? You know, how do we go from here? Everything we know is in that world. What do we do? And some in this person's family are still in that place. But this person is probably listening today. And this person's family is probably listening today. Some family members aren't there yet, and they don't even probably know where this person is at spiritually. But overall, this is a positive piece of feedback. Thank you, Ross. Your teachings have enriched my life. Feedback number two. You ready? This person basically said they're struggling spiritually. Difficult place. Listens to the same classes. Hears the same message. Sees Ross pointing out things that other people's miss. This person, when they left Christianity, feedback number two tells me, when they left Christianity, they felt like Judaism has all the answers. At last, I'm home. Free at last, Judaism has the answers. Maybe I'll just convert to Judaism. And then they met me. Now, I'm getting a little uneasy now as I read through this feedback. This person goes on to tell me that because of my teaching, they've arrived in a difficult place, at least in part. Not just me, but it's partly me. And the decision to leave Christianity, the decision to leave Christianity was based on textual difficulties in the New Testament. And now this person learns that there are some difficulties in the Hebrew Bible as well. And that the Hebrew Bible is not, as they believed, what they thought it was. Faith has become a struggle. Now, I asked the person because as I'm interacting with this person, I'm feeling it. You know, I'm thinking, wow, this is not my intent. My intent is for people to say, ooh, wow, you've discovered some great things in the Bible and we're right there with you. It's amazing. My faith is strengthened. This person said, it's not your fault. It's all my doing. Quote, I couldn't leave well enough alone. Wow. And when I read that, I was floored. I thought, oh my God, this is not what we're supposed to do here. So I felt it. Person went on to say, I moved too fast, and now I can't go back. So imagine if you're me. You get these two pieces of feedback. You come up on Friday and you think, let's put a class together about Moses. So I see Mark Williams says, Moses is taking a back seat today. Notice how I'm going to interact with the audience. My dear friend Mark, Moses will never take a back seat, but that is a good point. The class is shelved today because I have something very important to address today. So bear with me, please, Mark. How many of you can relate to one or the other of the feedbacks that I just gave you? Has anyone ever said, this is the most amazing thing, not necessarily about my teaching, I'm saying, this is the most amazing path that I am now on. I have found the truth, and the truth has set me free. I'm no longer in that group that I was in. I've made progress. I know some wonderful things now. And how many of you have at any point in your walk said, I'm scared. I'm concerned. Have I gone too far? Right now, wherever you are online, have you ever felt either one of those? Let me know. I'm going to be glancing over. I want to keep our discussion today, if I can, focused on what I'm talking about, because I want us to focus on the subject at hand today, if you'll help me out. Has anyone ever been in either one of those positions? Laura Blair says, yeah. Glenn Judah, yes. Bearden, Ross Bearden, nice name, Ross. Ross Bearden has experienced both. Leanne Cunningham says a thumbs up. I think that this is truly something that people have experienced. Now, it hit me really hard that both of these people that gave me this good, valuable feedback are listening to the same class. There have been times in my journey, now more than 30 years going, it's been more than three decades for me. I'm older than 30, but I mean, since I was an adult and I made my return to a desire to commit myself to a biblical faith, it's been 30 years. Some of you much longer than that. But there have been times when I was overjoyed, and there have been times in my journey where I was deeply concerned. You know, today, even today, 30 years in, I still experience both. Many times I walk alone out in my yard at night, and I cry out and I pray and I think, wow, what do we know that we know that we know? And what have I missed this? Have I missed that? It's a pursuit. Many of us began in one form of Christianity or another. And I'm asking you, you out there at the keyboards, how many of you began your walk in one form or another of Christianity? Let me know in the text. Have you gone in a different place? Some of you may still be in that place, but did you start in some form of fundamental Christianity? And maybe an easier question would be, who didn't? Is there anyone listening to me today that didn't begin this journey in fundamental Christianity of some form? Catholic, Baptist, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, Methodist, United African, Episcopalian, whatever. I think that's most of us. And I know that we all got here from a unique path to some degree, but let me tell you what I know from time that I've been in this movement. Here's what I know. A lot of our paths look pretty similar, right? You know what I hear more often than not? Someone is a Christian, and they realize that Jesus was Jewish, and they decide to pursue that. And they begin to look into, what does that mean when it says that Jesus and his family were in Jerusalem at the Passover? I want to know more about Passover. And they begin to study. And they begin to notice that the New Testament contains references that cause them to really want to learn more about the Judaic or Hebraic aspects of their faith. Some begin to point themselves, orient themselves more towards the Jewish Bible, the Hebrew Bible. A lot of times, I've talked to hundreds of people. I don't think that's an exaggeration. Maybe thousands. And you know what I hear a lot? They say, I just realized that the Sabbath was not done away with. That little bit got them started. Or maybe it was the festivals, the broader, the Passover, and they started keeping the festivals. Some people, it was the sacred name. Some people realized that God had a name, and they joined this or that sacred name movement. Now, some of you have experienced some of these. I think I want to see that feedback as I glance over. Have you at any time ascribed to a particular name for God, and if somebody didn't say it right, they weren't right? I think a lot of us have been through that. Is it Yahweh? Is it Yehovah? Is it Jehovah? Is it Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh? Is it Hashem? Is it, you know, Yahuwah? I mean, there are people who fight tooth and nail over this. For some, it was the calendar that oriented them and all the debates that happened from that. I've been through all of these. Many of you have as well. For some, the problems began when they began to look at the differences between perhaps the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of Paul. Many people go this route and they say, you know, I still believe in the words of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus, but I'm struggling with Paul. Paul seems to be anti-Torah. There are some who struggle with views of the New Testament. One view is that they accept all of, and by the way, the people that I'm describing, I think some of you on here today might still ascribe to some of these views. So I'm not saying everyone here is different than what I'm saying. I think some people, even who listen to me, have views of the New Testament that it is all divinely inspired, but you have to understand it with Hebrew eyes. Some accept parts of the New Testament, but again, like I said, struggle with Paul. Some accept the canonical Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but struggle with some of the other literature. Some take the synoptic Gospels and they ascribe to them Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but they have problems with the Gospel of John. It's too mystical, it's too Hellenized or whatever. When it comes to views of Yeshua, some believe that he's deity, part of a trinity. Some believe that he's deity, but lower than the Father. Some believe that he's the Messiah, but not divine. Some believe that Jesus of Nazareth was or is or will be the Messiah, but only for the people of Ephraim, which some of you believe you're Ephraim. Am I hitting some of the high points? And I'm going to open it up in just a moment, but I want to get some of these points off my chest. Some believe that Yeshua still has a role to play prophetically, that there are texts which written in the Hebrew Bible, among the Hebrew prophets, which speak of a future and relevant role for Jesus of Nazareth. Some believe that that is true, except that they believe that Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, is a negative person in God's plan, that he was a test to see if Ephraim would be obedient. This is another view that I've read extensively on. Some believe that Jesus never existed. I think that kind of covers just about everybody. When it comes to Judaism, some believe in a Karaite position, that it's Scripture alone, Genesis through Malachi, or Genesis through 2 Chronicles, if you have a Jewish Bible, the Old Testament, and only the text. And these people are very fundamental in their views. But they believe, here it is, the Hebrew Bible, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. We have Orthodox Judaism, or various branches of Judaism, which accept the Hebrew Bible, plus Jewish tradition, which the Karaites do not accept. We have some people that are oriented towards Judaism in a sense, but for non-Jews, and we would call those B'nai Noah, or strangers in the gate, or whatever term that they might want to ascribe to themselves. Some believe that Judaism is a man-made religion, the doctrines of men, that it has a departure from the intended biblical faith. And if all that you've been through, some of you have been through almost all of those that I listed off. If that isn't enough, You've got someone like me who says, let's keep digging. Now, some people dropped off, huh? Yeah, yeah. Who said that?
Saluda, I am just trying to not be always learning.
Yeah, someone commented that the person commented said, I just don't want to be that person who's always learning and never coming to the truth. And that's a good comment because a lot of people throughout their journey have decided on stopping in one place or another. The reason I went through that exercise to give you all those different, here's where some people are, and I know many of you can relate to that, is that some people reach a place where they throw the towel in. And that doesn't always mean quit. I mean, they may say, I'm getting off here. This is my stop. I've decided that this is one example. Somebody might say, I found problems in Christianity. I no longer ascribe to the tenets of Christianity. I feel like Judaism is right for me, and that's where I get off the train. Some people say, I'm willing to go a little bit further. I've got more questions. And then, you know, but it depends. Now, what's interesting about us is that we have people in all of these different groups who can sit together, and I try to be respectful of all those views. But I am continually pushing further. And I'm not going to make any commitment that I won't continue to do that. What I will say is this. I want people to have a meaningful relationship with God. I am thrilled that one of my daughters is engaged very much so in her church. Some of you don't like to hear that. And those of you who know me know that I won't lose sleep over our disagreements. Because I believe that when people begin to reach out to God, they're going to be drawn to more truth. Yeah, Tim said, faith is a journey and not a destination. Another good point. It's the journey. It's the quest. This is my view as well. But I respect when people say, I'm getting off now. So, some have given up altogether on faith. Now, that's not always Ross's fault. Some people have encountered other things or other teachers, but some people have just said, you know, I don't know if I believe anything anymore. Now, the reason I'm spending time today to tell you what I'm telling you and open it up in a few moments to talk about it is because I don't want that, if I have any say in this, because my faith is strong. My faith is sure. My faith is rooted and grounded in what I would call the Word of God. I love the Hebrew Bible, and by looking at it deeply doesn't mean that I throw any part out. But I know that some people have reached that place. And so this is an intervention, let's call it. I'm going to use the Saturday morning time as an intervention. Some have embraced an agnostic view, and they just love the quest regardless of where it takes them. Some have remained with us for an intellectual thing. You know, it's an intellectual stimulation. But some might leave because they feel that it's only intellectual. You know, some might listen to me and say, well, Ross doesn't even have faith. It's all for him an academic pursuit. Let me tell you something, not true. That is not true. I just want to tell you from me to you that if that's the view of me, that's not true. I know people that fall into all these categories. Some of you likely fit into one or the other. Now, I think you probably know this. I want to know. I want to understand. I want to learn, but I want to learn in order to live my life in a way that's pleasing to God. The reason that I want to get back to what did Moses actually say is because I think it's important and I think it's discernible. Some people might say it doesn't matter. Perhaps if we reason together, if we engage a little bit in a dialogue, it's going to be helpful. Now, here's where it's going to become difficult. I intend now to look at my laptop and see how much of this. I plan on taking a few questions or comments, and I want them to try to stay focused on this idea, first of all, relative to our current path. Now, please understand that when you have hundreds of people who download your classes, my task today is not to ask you, what do you think I ought to do? Because you can imagine that I'd get probably 140 different answers. But I want to know, how are you holding up? What are some of your thoughts on where this is going relative to a biblical quest? How are you? Are you okay? Let me know how you feel. Wesley Adams says that that's why he loves Zoom meetings, because you can get all these people together and, you know, different people can interact with one another. I think that's a good idea, too. We have the technology to do that, and I intend to utilize tools like that in the future. Ross Bearden says, the difficulty for many is when they come to the realization that God can't be put into the box that they tried to fit him into. How true is that? We tend to think of God as, you know, it's the old saying, God created man, and ever since we've been trying to create God in our image. We've been trying to turn that around. Mark is one of those, Mark Mosley is one of those who says, my faith is getting stronger. Jodell says, the letting go and allowing yourself to be molded and conformed into something else can be terrifying. This is one of the things that I'm trying to reach out to you today for. We have a network here. And there is that concern among many, but we just need to make sure that people are okay. Understand, I'm okay with wherever you're at, and I want you to be okay with taking or leaving bits and pieces of what we share. You're welcome to be wherever you are, and it's your faith. Tim says, my faith in Hashem doesn't depend on the historical accuracy of the Bible. And many of you know Tim from our United Israel page. Tim is primarily, and I think he's even called himself more in the minimalist camp, and that's okay. You know, he's in a different place. But what I don't think is that his view represents the whole. It's his view. Other people have totally different views about faith. Ruth says, every day, very true, Aileen, every day, learn every day things that I didn't know about God. I'm trying to keep up, and I don't know. Again, this is something I've never tried before. Leanne Cunningham says, I'm thoroughly gleaning from your classes. I love the servant study and want to go back over it again, definitely growing in my faith. And Sharon Swanson, hey, Sharon, and Ted, tell Ted I said hello. I just want the truth. If truth doesn't agree with me, I have to change. Ross, I believe that you want the truth, too. Anita, I had to start listening to videos from the past because I didn't know what you'd said before. Now, I've got a lot of these comments are coming in. You see, I can read them all, but I'm trying to look at them and see what we should pull out. And James Tabor says, so glad to find such a group and be part of such a group with that are for God, our Creator. And I think that it's the quest. It's that's what's really, to me, meaningful, that so many people are willing to have come this far. We're all on the same quest. Peggy says, my faith is strong, getting deeper as life carries me through the rapids. It's a good way to put it. Jerry on Facebook says, that's one thing I love about UIWU. We can be who God created us to be, where He has us. I may not be where Jodell is, but I'm on the same path she's walking on. We are all walking it to the best of our ability. I love it here. And I wanted to say, just to add on, when I gave the two examples, neither of the people said that they didn't care for me or that they didn't love United Israel. They both consider me a friend, but the takeaways are so vastly different. I want to know specifically, I don't know if someone would be willing to say, but is there anything recently that we've covered that shook your faith that you need help with? And I want to try to do that. So if somebody says, listen, I found a particular thing that you said very difficult, and I'm struggling with it. If there's anything like that, you can write me privately, too. I don't want people to feel like they have to do this publicly. The thing that I think is most important is that together we represent a group that is on the quest. We've come from different places. We're not always, as Jerry put it, in the same exact place, but we're on the path. Gary Wilson says, I find the question of what is the last of the 10 words to be an interesting study, though any of the answers seem to all be part of the Torah in one place or the other for the most part. I'm wondering, maybe I'm not quite following, but that could be, the question may be around, or the statement may be around, the fact that we have in our Bible, in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, two versions of the 10 words, and they don't agree word for word. And so that series, I did like 15 classes on that.
Lee said, I have come to see that God can defend himself. I don't have to get upset if someone disagrees with me.
Yeah, Lee says that, this person, Lee, says he's become convinced that God doesn't need him to defend him. And, you know, there is that view too. You know, it's like, hey, the Bible, God is perfectly able to defend himself, but I want people to truly, as we study these things, our goal is to draw closer to God as he intends us to be closer to him. You know, I want to know what mechanism, what way, what is the path, what is the truth, that kind of thing. Let's see. Barry Page. Hello, Barry. Barry says, I'm a Moses man. In other news, water is wet. Just joking. Barry is a good friend of mine. Barry said, I'm a Moses man. The Moses scroll and Deuteronomy, not Leviticus. All right. So see, notice how diverse our group is. It's full of people in different places.
How do you give us a private contact?
Yeah, okay, so there are different ways that you can contact me, because some don't want to share publicly. You can write me emails at rosskNichols@me.com. Send me your email. You can tell me where you're struggling or anything you'd like me to know. And then I started to give the office phone, but that's a little more difficult to, you know, generally you'll get the answering machine. Email me first and we can set up a phone call. You can reach me on Facebook Messenger. You can reach me, Twitter, just about anyway. Let me go back and look at some of this. Leanne says that this diverse community is such a blessing, and I'm blessed by it for sure. Because I don't, and I think our entire leadership team would say, I know they would because they've said it. James Tabor has said this many, many times. We don't want to give you a list of here are the articles that you have to ascribe to. You don't have to do that to be part of what we're doing. You have to basically, to be part of United Israel, you have to say, I believe in the Creator and seek to live my life according to His ways. Does that meet your... Yeah, I think everyone would say that. Now, if someone comes in and they just don't believe anything and they want to rip it to shreds and say, oh, I think this is all nothing but myth and whatever, then they don't belong here. Because, you know, and you can say, well, that's not being very open. Well, it's just not part of what we are. So if I go into a shoe store and ask them for a life raft and they say, well, we don't sell life rafts here. This is a shoe store. And I get mad. That's me that's wrong. What we are giving is an opportunity to refine our faith according to the ways of God. I think that's pretty fair. It's pretty broad. It's broad enough. The truth is like a lion. There's no need to defend it. Let it loose, then it will defend itself. It's a quote from Dave Tyler. St. Augustine said that. Let's see. So Lyndon put my email address there.
Is that right?
What's that?
Did I spell it right?
You did. Lyndon helped me out there. Lyndon's one of our assistants in the room today. So Jodell says, I find overwhelming support for Leviticus being part of Moses' original teaching. Okay? Now, again, we have two different views. Barry says no. Jodell says yes. Both of these will come across as being authoritative. And they'll both say, here's what it is. The question becomes, is that necessary? Can you entertain a good discussion and answer some tough questions about Leviticus? Because there are some tough questions. There are some very tough questions. And we have two different views in our group here. Now, you would see in some groups, somebody would say, oh, I'm with Barry. Oh, I'm with Jodell. And the crowd would split. What I want to do is say, everyone stay in the same room. And let's look at, say, Leviticus for Leviticus' sake. Let's look at it. First of all, who wrote it? I'm just kind of jumping onto this bandwagon for a moment. Who wrote it? Did Moses write it? It's typically, traditionally, ascribed to the hand of Moses. There's not a single first person. It's all third person. You have other difficulties when it comes to the sacrificial system. You know, was the sacrificial system originally part of God's plan or was it not? Again, you have people that say absolutely. Some people say absolutely not. So we are entertaining some of the toughest questions that are in the religious world today. You understand that this job, and I consider it more than a job, it's my passion, but I have a monumental task in that we have people that are so diverse and yet they're so committed to a common cause. James says, our fundamental unity, I think, is a personal walk with the one God, the Creator, and a participation, however that works out in the Abrahamic plan. It's a good way to say it.
Juanita said that she has only met a handful of members, but she still feels like she has a faith family.
Stop there. Lyndon is telling me that we've got a couple of comments about faith and fellowship, and she's only met a few. This Juanita has only met a few people from our group. And go ahead, and what else?
And she feels like she has a faith family. But Leslie struggles because of the lack of fellowship.
Yeah.
And
so
this and what we have is their her fellowship, but you know it's not personal.
So I know it's difficult. You can't hear. Lyndon's giving me some of the comments as well. So here's you have Juanita who's saying that she feels like in some ways this is the fellowship, and Leslie is saying that's one lack is that there's no personal fellowship. See, this is one of the difficulties that we have. Is that it's very tough because we're so scattered. We're trying to do something that we're trying to bring people together, not only who are separated geographically by great distance, but we're also trying to bring people together in a common quest who don't always agree theologically with one another. Now, I'm okay with that. So if someone listening to me today is still in somewhat of a fundamentalist Christian belief, they're welcome. They really are welcome by me, and I would stand up and defend their right to join with us. I want people to seek God, and I want people to feel welcome. Now, I want all of you to be with that same openness. All right, I'm getting a lot of comments here.
It's the fellowship.
Fellowship. It's how do we produce fellowship in this technology that we have? And you're probably watching this and say, I don't know, Ross, but whatever you're doing now isn't working. But the idea is, how do you bring people together? I want people to have a voice. All right.
And Marlene says she can.
Okay, well, maybe some people can. And by the way, Marlene in Florida, and we have several in the Florida contingent who have found a way to get together, you know, from time to time. And so they'll go out and they'll meet together for lunch, or several of them. I don't even know who all goes, but they've got several who get together. And I encourage those gatherings when you can, but it's not always possible. Let me look back and grab a couple of these. Sheila Wiley says, when I find a truth, I follow that truth and leave behind what I thought was right. I love listening to your discussions that bring the truth. It's why I come to your teachings every Saturday morning. So thank you for that. I'm glad that it's beneficial. Aaron Eckhart says, I take the holy convocation part of it very serious and wanting other families with children, so not having that big group with in person is really hard for me right now. Look, I get that, and that's one of the things that I find difficult too. There are times where I wish, I mean, we have seating in here for probably comfortably 50 people, and generally we have only a handful of people here. Sometimes three, sometimes five. Now, it's because people around don't really know. They're like, I don't know what that is. Is it this? Is it that? And they're a little bit scared, maybe. I don't know. Maybe they're scared of me.
Andy is in the UK and says they walk quite a lonely path, and the highlight of our Shabbat is your teaching.
Yeah, so I get that. Who said that?
Andy.
Yeah, Andy. Yeah, I know Andy from Facebook and through these weekly studies. That there are a lot of people who feel alone. And if you read the Bible, we get that. We see that there are people that are scattered all over the four corners of the earth. And I had this open this morning. I was reading it. This is from Malachi. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. And I don't necessarily like this translation, so let me look at it in another version. Many of you know this, and I don't need to quote it, but Malachi 3:16 says, then those who feared the Lord, feared Jehovah, spoke with one another. Jehovah paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared Jehovah and esteemed his name. You know, there is this idea that when people come together, and seek to orient themselves to the faith of the one God, I think there is, this passage comes to mind. God takes note of that. So I think that our coming together is important in any way that we can. If we can't do it in person because of geography or because of COVID or whatever, we can at least come together on Shabbat. Now, some of you may have logged in a little bit late and you don't know what's going on here. I'm trying to field a few comments because I got two pieces of feedback. One was very positive. One felt like their faith was a bit shaken. So what is it that, where are you at? I'm kind of just taking a feel. This is not going to be something I do every Sabbath, but I could open up and do dialogue sessions like this live anytime. Peggy says, it's a journey, an adventure, almost like searching for Horeb. We do that too, by the way. We're looking for Horeb. That's another thing that we enjoy doing. Let me go back to Facebook and see if I missed any. I know I missed a lot.
Well, I love Tim and his I'm not a people person. So this is good for me.
Let's see. I'm looking to see. I don't see that one, but it's being relayed to me that that Tim said what? He's not a people person?
He's not a people person.
Well, we're working on Tim. Tim knows that we're working on him to make him more of a people person. I love Tim. Bradley Stalker agrees with James, and James says, our fundamental unity, I think, is a personal walk with the one God creator and participation, however that works out in the Abrahamic plan. And Jodell says that she can still love Barry despite his position. And I assume that that's the same the other way around. Bambi says, let's see, Bambi Stalker, I might have missed the first part of that. Connection is huge to make this more than an intellectual pursuit. A lot of people miss the face-to-face gatherings. And I think that's a good point to bring up. James says, in the future, we can gather for festivals as we have in the past and also include Zoom connections for those who can't physically be present. You know, that's something somebody brought up as soon as we went live this morning about Zoom, and that is a good tool. Now, it can become difficult to work with because, you know, everybody is going to want to talk. But we could probably pull that off. We do have a Zoom account. We could go live and bring people together I still want to do Saturday teachings. I'm not abandoning that, I promise you. But I think there are times where we should be getting together and having more effective dialogue where you're feeling like you're in the same room at least. Let's see. I did announce, several people are talking about Sukkot. We do have on our agenda list to discuss a possible Sukkot gathering the weekend of September 24th through the 26th. And so I hope that we'll have an answer on that and we'll be able to discuss the feasibility and the probability of that and if that's a go or not, but I'll announce that this coming week. Now, there are groups that are not United Israel, that are all over the place. And I know Laura and Brian Blair, they have, and there are quite a few people in their family and their extended family and friends, and they get together sometimes. And I know that Jodell has things up in where she's at, and the Tyler's in New York. And there are various small groups that are starting. And one thing that I want you to consider, especially when it comes to the Florida contingent like Nancy and Marlene and Dave Conley and some of those people, there is an idea in United Israel that is called units. And David, in 1944, set up this idea that around the world there would be United Israel units. Now, churches sometimes use something called cell groups. where they have small groups of people. David was ahead of his time. He thought that it would be a good idea to have small groups of people all over the United States and the world. I think that's a great idea. Now, the way we could do this, and I want you to send me your feedback on this, is how do we do this? One way to do it is you could invite people over for Shabbat. If you don't want to prepare something, you could just invite them over to watch the Saturday morning study. And then after it's over, you could have food and fellowship. And that's one thing you could do. But I would like to see these units begin to flourish because I think it's a brilliant idea and it would meet the need to having that face-to-face fellowship. Let's see. People are on here now telling where they're at, you know. Look, I'm here, I'm there, what about this? And Mark Williams says, who's that with Ross? You mean me, Ross, or Ross Bearden? I have a few people in the room with me. PJ, I've got John and Lyndon, I've got Mark. So we've got several people in the room here. I don't know if that's what you're asking. Yeah, yeah. Christy said, hey, Christy, I know you've got a house full there. She said, I love this so much. I would love to host occasional gatherings at our home south of Fort Worth, Texas. Contact me if you'd ever like to come stay over for fellowship. And I think, you know, Patty brings up, you know, this idea of units is a great idea. COVID really put a damper on this. Things are opening again now, you know. So to some degree, maybe we're beginning to think about this at the right time. How do we meet the needs of people who are in different places? I started today because it was all I could think about was two pieces of feedback I got. One was very positive. Thank you. These classes are great. The other was my faith is now a struggle because of these classes. And that I could not put away. I know that there are people who are listening to me now that are in one or both or have been in one or both of those places. I want to encourage you, stay with us. And for this reason and this reason alone, wherever you're at, you're welcome. You're welcome to be part of what we're doing. If you are someone who aligns yourself with Barry Page's view that Leviticus is not Mosaic, you're welcome. If you are with a group like Jodell who say that she's got evidence that it is, you're welcome. I think that my view is to take, as you see in my classes, to take a close look at these texts and say, what does the Bible say? Now, both of these views, by the way, say we've got the biblical view. Jodell would certainly say it, and so would Barry. And then my class would sort of look at both sides and look at the text very carefully. So, Leanne has this comment. What if you have a 15-minute discussion after your hour of teaching each Sabbath? And we did do the dialogue session, and we did that for a long time after each class. And some people love that, and some people hated it. We're not doing it right now, as I announced earlier in the discussion today, because of a technical issue, but I hope to get that going again. Now, it could be that we do something where we do a Zoom after the class. Maybe I would teach a class, Facebook Live, and then we would do a Zoom meeting, discussion or something like that. I have a free Zoom account. I would need to upgrade to something where we could handle more people, but that's a possibility. And I could host a Zoom discussion. Now, I may do this several times, maybe I told Mark before class today, I might do it once a week. I might do it three times a week. I might go live anytime and say, hey, join me. Let's discuss whatever. Again, we would have some simple rules. You have to be respectful of the views of others, even when they don't agree with you. But I think this group is well equipped for that.
I like.
Yep.
James, I think it is. As the rabbi said, you might think you know what the Bible has to say, and then bam, something happens in your life and it doesn't align with your understanding. Your understanding was wrong. Like you've said many times, I knew I was right until I was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of you may have heard that. The bottom line is, we all knew we were absolutely right about everything that we believed when we believed it until we figured out that we were wrong. So these dogmatic views that I believe that this is the way this is, I'm a lot less on that side of things anymore, because what I find is people often embrace a view only to find that that view was wrong. So I'm about the quest. I'm about the quest for the purpose of learning, but learning to live according to the truth. And I invite all of you to join me on that quest. I'm looking through to see if I missed anything. I know I missed hundreds, but what I think I would like to do, though, this is, it was so different for me to try this today, and I don't even know how many people are on live on either place, but what I would like you to do is, if you have questions or concerns, next week we're going to be back, and my intention next week is to go right back into our weekly study. This week I just felt like I needed to have this little bit of open dialogue, and so I think what I'd like you to do is, if you have questions or concerns or personal struggles in your faith, email me. And if we can't resolve it on email, you know, this is what I do. I'll be happy to have a phone conversation with you. Obviously, there are more of you than there are me, but I have other people around me who might be helpful as well. But I really want you to think about, if our goal is to find the truth, and we've come through a lot over the past however long you've been on this journey, we've got to continue. My goal is to keep pushing forward. And I hope that you're with me. Again, that being with me doesn't mean you agree 100% with everything that I believe. But are you open to consider? For the people who benefit from the classes and enjoy the newness of discovery in the text, thank you for your kind and encouraging words. For those of you who feel that I have negatively affected your faith, I've put too much on you, sincerely, I apologize, because my intention is never to hurt. My intention is to help, and to help only. Sometimes discovery is painful, and I want you to know that even though I have views that are different than when I was a little boy in 1973 and walked up to an altar in a Baptist church, I still have that love. I still have that passion to follow the truth where it leads me. I hope that you'll join me. I hope that you stay with us. I really do love you. I hope that you can join us again next Saturday. Send me any questions or concerns that you have, and forgive this different Sabbath thing that we did today, but I will go back through and read all of the comments, because I know I missed a lot. Lyndon was trying to help me a lot more than I accepted, but we tried it, and I think we can get better at it. So next Saturday, we'll be back here. That's our intention, God willing. Shabbat shalom, Shavua tov. See you next week.